I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Let's go live to Paris. Goodbye. Dave, do you like my hat? I don't know if you can see it from Paris. I've got my Ryder Cup hat on.
It's a little tough to say, a little foggy, but...
Live to Paris for an update on the Ryder Cup. We're kicking butt, huh?
Taking the first point.
All right, good. That's good.
And that was Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, winning 4-2 over Rory McIlroy and Thorbjørn Olesen.
And you still have that Thorbjørn Olesen fan club that you started?
Yeah, we're the Thorbjørns, the reborn yes. Thorbjørns.
I understand.
And then Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are leading. They are through 16. It looks like they're one up on Paul Casey and Tyrrell Hatton. Tiger Woods and Patrick Reed all square in their match with Molinari and Fleetwood.
They got about six to go.
And Tony Finau and Brooks Koepka all square against Justin Rose and Jon Rahm, who had the early lead in that match.
There you go.
So a good start for the U.S. in the four balls.
We'll do the Ryder Cup update every 5 minutes throughout the morning.
I was excited that Rory lost because when he came to the tee, it was the loudest cheering. And so I thought, there you go.
I didn't play very well.
No.
So, all right, we continue with the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Whether it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, when we look back on all the things that have happened since Donald Trump moved into the White House, yesterday will be one of the most ridiculous and embarrassing and shameful displays. Yesterday, the Kavanaugh hearings, for lack of a better title, went on. And both of the people involved in the hearings were emotional. Both were on some level believable. One was way more likable than the other. But in the end, it became just clearer than it's ever been that the Republicans and the Democrats have no interest in what happened. They only have an interest in each other. Separately, their own separate agendas. And while Senator Durbin, I thought, was fantastic and created one of the most spectacular moments in the afternoon session, the whole thing was just nauseating. There'll be a preliminary vote today. The Senate Judiciary Committee has scheduled that on the Supreme Court nominee. There'll be a second test vote, if you will, tomorrow before the final vote is taken on Monday or Tuesday. The American Bar Association overnight said, stop it. Said, slow it down, stop it. And there's a chance they may at least delay it again.
Yeah, and you saw the American Bar Association's gold star rating was a big part of the Republican defense yesterday. So I felt like five or six of the senators referenced it. So they seem to hold that organization in high esteem. So it'd be interesting to see if they take their advice and slow the process down.
Next. Laquan McDonald's behavior is the focus on the fourth day of defense at the Van Dyke trial. What was his disposition? As he walked, what was he saying? Was there threats involved? That continues. It's starting to become questionable whether or not we'll see a verdict next week. We'll see.
They say that the defense, the inside story is that the defense is probably going to call their last witness, and there's still no question, or there's still a question of whether or not they're going to call Van Dyke himself, but that they would wrap their defense early next week, and we could be to closing arguments by the middle of next week.
And deliberations next week at this time. A week from now. Next, online retailers are going to have to collect sales tax from Illinois shoppers. Illinois law is scheduled to go into effect on Monday. I know a lot of people get upset about this, but I got to tell you, It's the only fair way to do this.
And Steve Grzanich probably knows. I thought the House of Representatives or something were maybe going to vote on that not being exactly what happens, but there hasn't been a vote, so that's why we're still scheduled to have it happen on Monday.
So we can blame Steve.
Yep.
Yeah, feel free to blame me. I'll give you my address. You can send me mail and all kinds of stuff.
Okay. Next, the Trump administration has rolled back major offshore drilling regulations that were put in place after the Deepwater Horizon disaster in 2010. Next. Fast food doubleheader, Popeyes, and Checkers are going to be opening soon across from the Polish Triangle in the CTA Blue Line Division L station. Checkers is known for its hamburgers, wings, and seasoned French fries. Popeyes offers Cajun-styled fried chicken, fish, red beans, and rice, amongst other things. So does that mean we're going to have a chicken war?
I think so, and I did put that on the list because it's local news, and I love Popeyes. Like, I love that chicken, that seasoning, that gravy they put on their mashed potatoes.
They're going to be together?
One of those, like, combo restaurants.
Oh, like a Taco Bell KFC?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were competing with each other.
I mean, Checkers and Popeyes are fine establishments, but when you put them together, there's nothing that says low rent more than a double fast food joint, right?
I don't think I've ever eaten at either one of them.
Well, no, that's not true.
When you see a Taco Bell and a KFC together, you're like, oh, that must be a great place.
Well, no, but you said low rent.
I just feel like it's low rent.
Like Route 59 in Naperville, there's three of them.
If they were on their way and they were standing separately, you'd be like, okay, but when they go to that combo deal, I feel like, are they also selling sunglasses at the rest stop?
You know what they always say here, though? Nobody wins in a chicken war. So
that's true. If there's one thing we can learn. This just in from Dave, still in Paris. Tony Finau and Brooks Koepka have won their match. We're now two up.
That would be 2 points.
Yeah, that's a nice start. Yes. And then there's this. Anthony Rizzo is given another $2 million to Lurie's Children's Hospital. How good is that?
And he's a guy who doesn't just talk the talk, or is it?
Yeah, that's it. Talk the talk. He shows up.
Yeah, I mean, he's done this consistency. You know, and you go back.
Cancer survivor himself, but still, right. Just because you have the money doesn't mean you have to give away the money. He does.
And remember how the season began for the Cubs back in spring training when he hopped on a plane, left Arizona, went home to address his community at Parkland. Mm-hmm. And very impressive.
Good kid.
So I think he's shown that this is something that he does on a regular basis.
So that's a good story. Yes. And that's your top six at six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, sir.
Lou is sponsored by American Weathermakers, and we have an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat to give away. And Donna from New Lenox. Donna, you're already a winner.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. I love you guys.
I could just tell, Donna, when you called, you were a winner. And now you're a winner. April Airfare Wi-Fi thermostat dinner. Allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's from American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Donna, since you're nice enough to listen, you know either Lou or I could answer your question. But I'm going to let Lou take this one.
Perfect. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have electric space heaters down in my basement when I built out my basement. So I have three of them. One is in an office, working perfectly. I put them in about 10 years ago. The two in the front, the largest part of the basement, I have my circuit is working. I've replaced the thermostat, and they are just not working. Is there a way? I don't know how to test them to see if they're bad or if I have. What can I do?
These are baseboard mounted electric space heaters, correct?
Correct.
Okay. From a testing perspective, obviously the circuit is on. You're going to test that at the panel. Then you're going to need some type of tester at the thermostat where the connection is made. Right at the, you're going to take the housing off where the thermostat is, and there's a regulator there that helps provide the heat to the coils. You're going to use an electrical tester to find out and make sure you have voltage there. If all of that is set, there could be some break or breach in the heating coil, which means you may have to replace those as well. All those parts are plug and play. Do you know the manufacturer that you have? Is it Cadet?
I do not know.
Okay.
And I have tested the panels at the actual heater itself. I pulled off the little, and there is electrical going to that.
Right. So if that, so, if you have power there, then you have to try. You just kind of go, when you're trying to test continuity in any kind of electrical, you start at the source and you just keep moving until you find the breach in the circuitry. So if you've got power at the panel, then you've got power at the wires leading up to the unit itself where it's connected. Then you go to the thermostat and you find out if you have power on either side of it. And, you know, the fact that you said you've replaced that thermostat already, you got to make sure that it's wired properly. And if you don't have power on the other side or at the other end of the coil, then you may have to replace that as well.
And where do you get those? Because I had, you know, the contractor that built out my basement.
Yeah, electrical supply houses for that is going to be the source for your parts. And so the easiest thing to do is to take it all apart if you find out, oh, yeah, this part's no good. Go to an electrical supply house. They may not stock it, Donna, but they can order it for you.
Perfect. Does Fox Lumber carry those by any chance?
That would probably be a no, but you could certainly call them. Yeah. That's a specialty electrical product. They may be able to order it for you, but I don't know if they can order the parts.
Well, I hope that helped you, Donna. Hold on so we can get more information from you. There you go. That's Donna.
What did Lou say? You said a breach in what?
In the continuity of the wires.
A breach in
that doesn't
continuity.
Even mean anything.
I'm
that's
use
the
that
new
in
Bourne
meetings.
Movie.
Yeah.
You could use that line in many of the meetings at the radio station. There's a breach in our continuity.
Yeah, that's. I'm going
to
use that one.
I don't think I need to say this, but I will. I was in a band called the Electric Space Heaters.
Oh, that's right.
Can't text, you just say
you
the
guys, you know what you guys were?
Hot. We were hot. 630 texter, Lou, how do I get rid of brownish diamond-shaped sting bugs that have invaded my house?
Stink bugs?
It says sting.
Yeah. My guess is stink, which is a...
What do you, spell check?
Well, I don't know what a sting bug is.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. They are cousins to the bed bug.
Okay.
Very difficult
to get rid of. Do they see each other at family reunions?
They do. They're very difficult to get rid of. And the reason they call them stink bug is if you step on them, they literally stink to high heaven.
Oh, nice.
There's a manufacturer called Harris that makes a line of stink bug sprays and powders that you can use in the corners. The powder is actually a derivative of boric acid. The whole idea is that as they cut across it in the corners, it gets into their ectoskeleton.
Yeah,
and
the old ectoskeleton
over,
thing. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Texter Harris 312. I want to add some blown-in insulation to my attic. Do I have to match the new insulation R value to the type I have now?
You do not. The one mistake that a lot of people make when they add blown-in insulation is they put a vapor barrier over the top of what they have, and then they blow in insulation. The vapor barrier always has to be directly on the surface and the insulation on top. So if it's a ceiling, the first thing that goes down is the vapor barrier. If you're going to add blown-in insulation, the key factor here is that if you have a ventilated attic, you have to put in what's called insulation baffles in every one of the rafter spaces so that the air can still come in from the vents. And in our area, what we're looking for is about an R50 total in an attic space. That's probably around 24 inches of total insulation in height. And so that's what you're going for.
Okay, you're using a lot of big words today. John DeCoste is here this morning. John, you have a question?
Hi, John.
Yeah, good morning. Real quick question. We have sliding glass doors that go onto the deck, but the track is messed up. I've asked this before. I know you can do adjusting and whatever, but if that doesn't work, do you have to replace both doors, or can they pull them out and put a whole new track in?
You can put a new track in. It's a little laborious to do, but if it's messed up, meaning that it's broken or bent or...
He's asking.
Give me a little more information.
Okay, yeah, so the track itself, the plastic that makes it run smooth slide is off, and it's
the hell
just grinding.
What kind of house are you living in?
Well, it's not a house. We just have the doors.
The track itself, John, the track itself should be literally like some rails of aluminum, and that plastic that you talk about is a bushing that actually should be able to be replaced. That actually holds the door from shaking a little bit, but the bottom should be an aluminum rail that the rollers run on. And if you can't adjust the door by those little caps on the inside of the door with a screwdriver, those rollers can be replaced. And as long as the aluminum track portion is smooth and not nicked or bent, it probably is just a question of replacing the rollers on the door, and that can be done.
Good. Okay, good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much.
What are you doing on TV this morning?
We're going to talk a little fall lawn care. Mm. It's about that time of year to do a little core aeration in your lawn and then add a winterizing fertilizer, do a little fall lawn seeding, and maybe even some spot weed killing.
Good times.
Exciting stuff, right?
And you'll be on tomorrow on the radio?
I will be on tomorrow on the radio.
About 7?
Start around 7. You know, the news goes to about 7:05.
All right, so if you get there at 7:05, you're on time. Thank you, buddy.
Exactly. Goodbye.
See ya. And the headlines are next in 720 WGN. It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. It's 6:45 as we continue. Steve Cochran, show number 1,230. Show number 59 in this new building and number 42 in the new studio at Cochran Show on Twitter. You know, I got to drop that last part. Nobody cares that we're in the new studio. So we're killing that part, and we're killing this part. It's just show number 1,230. That's an on-air executive decision. I've just made it.
If we're going to have an on-air meeting, I would say you could also just say Steve Cochran on social, because the minute you type it in, Google directs you to everything now anyway.
But for legal purposes, the 1,230 shows, that's a very important component of this. Right. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, 312-981-7200. Justin, what are we doing now?
It's the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. This is where we talk to people in Chicago who are in the business community.
And who's this handsome devil that's wandered in here?
Better understand ours. Arturo Gomez is a longtime entrepreneur who was a partner at Rocket Ranch for Rocket Ranch, of course, Billy Deck, and the nightclubs that we know so well here in Chicago. He moved on to do other projects, but he is returning as a partner in the Nightclub Underground, a famed nightclub right there in River North.
This is still Rocket Ranch, isn't it, Arturo? Yeah.
It is. It is.
So you and Billy are still in business. We don't want to start a rumor that you and Billy have had a horrible fight and you've gone their separate ways.
No, we have not. So Rocket Ranch, though, is a separate company. So Billy and I are partners both on the Underground specifically. Right. So I have a separate company that I manage, and Billy and I have come together.
Why return?
Hold on a second. He's a friend of the show, Justin. I don't know if you know this. Billy Deck comes in here all the time. He's a friend of the show. So you're going to be judged here, Arturo.
Good.
You may be a friend of the show, depending on how the segment goes. Justin.
Why return to the business? Because you moved on. You have your own companies, Luxury Air, some other things. Why return to Rocket Ranch and to the nightclub industry?
You know what? It was I saw a really great opportunity when Billy called me up and said, you know, that he had just taken possession of the entire property. He basically offered for me to come back in, and it really was symbiotic with some of the other stuff that I'm doing, you know, the obviously focusing on luxury and luxury experience. So I'm trying to really kind of carve out a niche for myself in that specific part of the industry. And so Underground just really offered a really interesting brick and mortar opportunity to be able to you know, elevate the experience and kind of move customers across the board.
It is interesting, the luxury experience as a genre or a business category. Talk about that, because you know, that seems to me, just as somebody who maybe a layman doesn't understand, that this seems to be a limited opportunity for business when you say it's the luxury experience. You're going for one type of clientele.
Sure. You know, there's a lot of conversation around the experience economy. You know, more and more people are talking about, you know, individuals investing in more of experience rather than physical. You know, we've seen it certainly on the aviation side, and you know, you have people that are, you know, more willing to spend, you know, $10,000 on a trip than on putting a $10,000 watch on their wrist, right? And so, you know, I believe it's going to continue to evolve, and I think that the economy is having an impact on that. I think that people are migrating towards a more exclusive type of environment. And so we see an opportunity here to kind of continue to move in that direction. And so that's what this is all about.
And I know the millennials are experiences rated much higher than actual physical things.
But the millennials don't have money, do they?
Well, not yet, but I mean, if you're, they're going to.
So they can borrow money from mom, so they can go to underground.
They can have a luxury experience at underground.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing the economic, you know, the millennials starting to push into that economic range where they are now earning. I mean, you're talking about 36-year-old individuals who've been in business and been in their career for, you know, some 10, some 15 years. And so we are starting to see the spread, but we're seeing a good amount of people from Gen X kind of come down, and it's the same philosophy. These are individuals that really would rather spend, you know, a good amount on a family vacation or do something that they can then take with them from a mental standpoint, and or now the issue or the focus of sharing everything on social, right? It's it's how cool am I?
The business is very difficult. And most guys get in and they're out in a year or two. You've done it for a long time. Why have you been successful?
You know, I think I've been asking myself the same question. I think it really revolves around leadership. I think leadership is the most competitive and disruptive force in business today. And I think that if you have somebody who's focused and centered around the true values of business and what the business really requires, and supporting staff and teams and going out and recruiting the highest level of talent, that is a recipe for success.
What does leadership look like at Underground? I mean, when you talk about nightclubs, you're talking about a lot of different employees, from bartenders to barbacks to managers and doormen. What does leadership look like at a nightclub?
Yeah, I mean, I think leadership really resembles what it resembles in many other different scenarios. I mean, it's just having somebody there who really can piece together strategy that's relevant to that specific industry, that specific venue. I think it requires somebody who has humility and actually can speak to, you know, people from all different walks of life. I mean, you have, these are hourly employees, but some of them actually have 9-to-5 jobs. I mean, these are, you know, levels of intelligence all across the board, and people from all walks of life. So you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to lead from a business standpoint, and certainly, you know, from a social aspect, you have to be able to communicate with your guests and be able to charm. I mean, the people are there for entertainment, so it's multifaceted, but that's what that snapshot of.
You're going to fast run out of time here, and I want to give Justin the last word.
Sure.
You get out of the business, kind of. You're back now.
Yeah.
The club's known for DJs. How do you screen DJs now? You got a DJ scout going out? You got a guy who knows every act in the country?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent a lot of time doing that. I put a
lot. So that still falls on your desk?
It does. I mean, it's a passion thing, but I count on a lot of other people that I have around me that are really, really talented and know where music is heading. I mean, a lot of these are assumptions, right? But we try to make strong assumptions based on research and trying to work with people that we think are going to entertain crowds.
You probably didn't recognize me when you came in, but I am Spinderella.
There you are.
Good. All right, Justin, last word.
The nightclub industry as a whole has changed.
Sure.
And we've seen, and obviously there are economic factors in that as well. But from your early days at Dragon Room and thinking about the decades of the Chicago nightclub scene, what has been the biggest change? What can people expect in 2018 who may have been going to nightclubs in the early 90s?
I mean, you know what I've seen? I've seen probably every 15 years there's a dramatic shift. And so at the time of me kind of moving out of my experience there at Dragon Room, the emergence of bottle service really shifted nightlife really across the country. And then kind of simultaneously, you started experiencing the advent of large DJs. And that also has caused a real shift in how these nightclubs are built, what people are actually looking for.
I'm going to say the bed craze for girls that wear dresses was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I know when we all had a lounge on those low seats.
Lean uncomfortably.
Yeah, it wasn't good for us.
Where do you see it going?
I feel that exclusivity and intimacy and a more boutique product is where things are heading. I think that luxury will have its time again. I think over the last, 10, 12 years, you've seen the big box kind of Vegas style type places. DJs were reigning supreme, but also the economy and the economy bottoming out in 2018 or 2008, gave rise to different concepts that were a lot more casual. And I think that the upscale, environment is really going to be coming back.
Feel good about it. That's great. Now, yeah. We didn't want this to end ugly, but we know you went to Michigan.
Yes.
And the guy next to you is the voice of Northwestern.
Excellent.
Well, you say excellent, but we know that you two are about to start swinging at each other.
No, I would never do that.
So you're welcoming of this Wolverine.
Oh, sure. Everybody's welcome here in the Skyline studio.
So do you have a prediction for the weekend, Arturo?
I do. I think Michigan is going to win the game. I think they'll probably win by two.
Hit him now, Dave.
Two touchdowns.
Here's
the thing. I think Pat Fitzgerald is an amazing coach. He was on Michigan's target. They just missed him, but Northwestern is lucky to have him. And he's a great leader, and they're gonna, they're gonna get it around. But
he's a good DJ too, Arturo.
Yeah,
Dave, what is your prediction?
Is Coach Fitz on the line?
He will be now. In just about 10 minutes. Do you have a prediction for the game?
I think it's going to. I don't have a prediction yet.
You're predicting Northwestern will win.
I think it's going to go down to the fourth quarter. I think Northwestern is going to catch Michigan a little bit by surprise tomorrow. I think it's going to be a closer game than a lot of people think, and we'll see what happens in the fourth quarter. These games tend to go that way. You get into the Big Ten, and you never know.
And you throw the records out the window.
Yes,
and all
you
that.
Do.
Arturo Gomez, great to see you. And congratulations on all the success. Try to sleep once in a while. I know you got that great little 2-year-old in your house who's telling you what to do and when to do it, but good for you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We will get to this as time allows, but one of the more ridiculous moments yesterday in the Kavanaugh hearings were when there was a questionable definition given by the Supreme Court judge nominee for the words boof and the phrase devil's triangle. If you have a computer, the Urban Dictionary can help you out from this point forward. And it went something like this.
Have you, I don't know if it's boofed or boofed, how do you pronounce that?
That refers to flatulence. We were 16.
Okay. And so when your friend Mark Judge put the same thing in his yearbook page back to you, he had the same meaning. It was flatulence.
I don't know what he did, but that's my recollection. We want to talk about flatulence at age 16 on a yearbook page. I'm game.
So ridiculous.
I don't know why the Democrats did that.
Ridiculous.
I don't know why they. Who cares about the yearbook?
Well,
just so ridiculous.
The words mean. I mean, look in the Urban Dictionary at what some of these definitions are. There's a question of whether he was telling the truth or not.
Devil's triangle.
Well, that's another one.
I guess you're setting up that he is. He's contradicting himself.
I don't think anybody knew what they were setting up.
Who cares? Yeah.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's next on WGN Radio.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Well, it's going to be a big weekend. And what has turned out to be a heck of a schedule for Northwestern. I mean, even going back to when it was announced, Dave, we went, wow.
Yeah.
Michigan and Notre Dame here. Wow. I believe you said that, Dave, and I said, wow.
You did say wow. And you didn't even mention Wisconsin and Nebraska.
Right.
And Duke was already here.
So these games ought to be sold out. It's going to be a big Saturday.
Sold out tomorrow.
How often does it happen, Dave, where you have two coaches that also played for the teams that they're coaching?
That's an interesting question. We need an exact
number before 9 o'clock.
Let me see if I can add that up.
Because these two were stars as players, and now they're stars as coaches.
I was a Fitz fan more than a Harbaugh fan. I'm not going to be honest with you. I thought Fitz was a better player. He's on hold? Well, that's just a coincidence. Dave, who's this brought to you by?
He's sponsored by Volvo Northfield.
Coach, how was that for sucking up?
Oh, I appreciate it. I haven't done anything since 1996 on the field, so I'll take it.
All right, so Michigan starts flat. Now they're playing great. What is this, a better challenge for you, or would you prefer a team that's kind of trying to figure it out?
Well, I've said this now, I think, for 3 weeks, and it's going to continue to be the challenge for us. I wish I could worry a lot about them.
Right.
We know what they're doing. We've got a great idea. We've done a good job of preparing for them, but more importantly, it comes down to the way that we play. And we've played, over these three games, we've really played about six pretty good quarters that would give us enough points and potential defense to win. But the three quarters of self-inflicted wounds have really put us in a position not to be successful. So that's been our focus, taking care of the ball, keeping the ball inside and in front, and creating more turnover. So, you know, my hope is that's the way that we'll go attack the game on Saturday.
You made a change at running back you didn't expect to have to make. Just take us through the events with Jeremy Larkin having to retire from football this week and what his role is going to be going forward.
Well, Dave, tough deal for Jeremy the player. There's no doubt about that. He was a spectacular football player and an amazing, amazing teammate. But you know, about a week ago, we went through a number of tests based on some symptoms that Jeremy had described to our medical team, and we exhausted specialists here in Chicago, and then that are part of our program, some outside of our program, and then sent him to Pittsburgh to see an expert there, and it was the medical teams and Jeremy and his family, and then us supporting him to make this right decision, not only for the short term but the long term. I think if you were to talk about team speeches or any talks that have ever been I've been a part of in the team, Jeremy's speech on Monday morning to our squad was as inspirational as I've ever been a part of. And, he's just such a stud. He's got an amazing attitude. I'm sure it's eating at him inside, and Saturday afternoon will be hard, but he's converted now to being Coach Larkin. So he's a student coach, and I think he beat a couple of the graduate assistants in on Wednesday, and I told him, you better look out. He's going to start taking your stipend check, too. So,
the cool thing, too, is, and I give you credit for this, everybody that's a part of the program is a part of the program for life, and that's got to be a very important thing as he transitions to the rest of his life.
Well, everything happens for a reason, Steve, in my opinion, and, this wasn't meant to be. He loves the game. From his standpoint, he really felt strongly that he wanted to stay a part of everything. And, I give the guys, we've unfortunately had other guys that have gone through injuries too and, get the great game taken away from them. But, football is what we do. It's not who we are. And, that's something that I really stress with our guys all the time. And this window is so small that you get the privilege to play this game, and you got to take advantage of every rep every day. And I will tell you this, in my humble opinion, Jeremy Larkin took advantage of every day, and now he's going to use his experiences to his second love affair, hopefully, that'll become coaching.
Coach, when you look at the film for the first three games, what's the one thing that stands out that the team needs to improve on?
We got to take care of the football. We can't turn the ball over and quite frankly, not even give our defense a chance to compete and expect to be consistent. And, to me, that's the number one correlate to victory is turnover ratio, and we're giving it away too much, and we're not taking it back enough. And to me, that's the number one thing. In our last two games, we've had chances to make plays defensively to take the ball away, and we haven't. So, that could really mitigate some potential, mistakes that we make on offense. And those things are going to happen. You just can't give up points off of it, and we've just done too much of that.
I know you look at games and you think, okay, this is going to be a high-scoring game, or this is going to be a low-scoring game. It doesn't necessarily go the way you think it's going to go, but you look at these two defenses. Does this have the feel of one of those Big Ten wars that go four quarters and it's a kind of a low-scoring defensive struggle?
I think Jake Collins' parents are going to really be excited after tomorrow's game. I think they're going to get a chance to see their son punt a few times. And I think the punter from Michigan will have the same opportunity. I think both defenses are outstanding statistically. Obviously, Michigan's one of the top in the country, and it's because they're very well coordinated and have just incredible talent. But I think our front seven is up for the challenge. Our DBs, our young guys especially, have got to just continue to grow and get better and keep the ball inside and in front, and we'll be okay.
You go for it on fourth down a lot. I don't know if you've ever noticed, Coach. I could see this being a pivotal point in a close game tomorrow. Is there a particular mindset that puts you in that frame, or you just know that this is our best shot to move the football, and let's take a roll the dice?
Yeah, no, I just, totally off the cuff. I just, try to do everything I can just with no planning. And I just said, let's just go for this one. Who cares?
That seems sarcastic to me. I mean, I feel like you do a little planning. But, who am I to judge?
I sit there with one of our GAs on the sideline and go rock, paper, scissors, shoot. And if I win, we go for it. And if he wins, we punt it. So
I would recommend Magic 8-Ball next time.
It's amazing. It's so cool when it works, and it stinks so bad when it doesn't. And, you know, last year defensively, we only gave up in the regular, before the bowl game, we only gave up 6 points all year when we went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. So, you know, it's a program philosophy. We're trying to be aggressive, trying to stay on the attack at all times. We're obviously doing some things prepared from a preparation standpoint that, you know, we think works, and it's amazing. It's so cool. Like, when it works, our fans send me these really cool, nice emails and say, great decision. And when it doesn't work, I get, like, these lumps of coal, and you've ruined my Christmas.
And a horse's head on its desk.
No, not that yet, but thanks for giving our fans the idea. I appreciate that, Steve. Thanks a lot.
I guess I can't catch up to him. His sarcasm is, you know, I don't know.
I like it.
Serious.
It's good.
I'm going to send him a magic eight ball. It's going to be a faster thing. It's easier to hold on the sideline to decide on whether you go for it on fourth down. All right, Dave.
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, 3:30 kick. And you got your students back, too, right, for the first time?
Yeah, fired up. Absolutely. I went for a walk yesterday on campus, and, you know, it was a unique experience having all the students there. It was pretty cool, and fired up to have Ryan Field rock and roll. It should be a great atmosphere and a lot of fun. Our guys are excited to play. Appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend. Go Cats.
All right, Saban. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
That's Coach Fitz. 16-10 Northwestern.
That's you know, that sounds about right. Sounds about right. Coach Fitz brought to you by Volvo Northfield.
Maybe Jenga. Maybe Jenga could help him figure out when to go for it on fourth down. When the wood blocks fall, it's a good time.
Right.
Be hard to play Jenga on the sideline, but you could figure it out.
A lot of patience. They're like, Coach, we need a decision. He's like, 1 second.
I can't wait to hear what he tells me tomorrow when I see him about the whole fourth down thing and the magic eight ball and your question.
He asked for the magic eight ball. It's a fair question.
It is.
It's 7:21. We're back with, what are we doing next? Oh, of course, it's the most valuable person on the planet. You're going to love this one. The MVPP. It's next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared in our boots. Ain't muddy, but no one laughs. Cause there ain't nothing funny when a soldier cries. And I just wipe my eyes.
I tell you, even if you don't like country music, the lyrics in country music are always great. Well, not always great. I love my truck, maybe not, but there's some great writing in country music. Maybe better than it's ever been. All right, 7:27. Most valuable person on the planet for Friday, September 28th, joins us now on the phone with also the person that benefits from his individual generosity. David?
Yep.
Good morning, David Dunkelberger.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing just fine.
Thanks for having
me. Yeah, well, I appreciate you being on. Do you mind if I introduce Ed as well?
Absolutely.
Let me go here to Ed Sheets. And Ed, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Well, thanks for being on. There's a garage sale. Let's start this way. Who threw the garage sale? Who was the guy that put the garage sale on?
His name was Willie Davis. He had signs up for a yard sale, and Ed and I were out taking a drive, and we came across his yard sale and just stopped to look to buy a couple things.
So you go in, you look at the stuff, you don't know anything about Mr. Davis. What happens from there?
After we bought a couple things, Ed actually got back in the car first, and Willie says to me, hey, if you know anyone else interested in my stuff, I'm trying to sell my stuff to pay for a funeral. And I said, whose funeral? And he said, mine. And, you know, my heart...
That'll stop you in your tracks, right?
Yeah, I couldn't believe. And, you know, you don't understand, so you kind of give him a weird look, and he said he has stage 4 terminal cancer, and he didn't have money to obviously pay for his own funeral.
So, David, what'd you do from there?
You could just tell. Ed and I were together all day, and you could just tell it kind of sat on us. And I called Ed the next morning. I said, Ed, we got to do something to help him. And we both agreed that, you know, maybe start a GoFundMe, try to raise some donations. And what did we say at one point? If we could give him $50, it was better than nothing, you know. And no matter what we got, it was going to be better than what he had.
And, Ed, it's a little better than $50, right?
Absolutely. It's been incredible the way that this has just grown and blown up. I mean, we looked at it about a week ago and thought if we could, at that point we were at about 475, and we thought if we could give them even 600, at least it's going to give them a start. But at this point now, it's been incredible how much it's grown.
And how's Willie respond to the fact that you guys are doing this for him?
Willie's been really taken back, and he's really appreciative. And that just seeing him, how I think this relieves so much stress in his life, you know, what's left of his life, it makes it worthwhile, and it makes all the time and, you know, effort that we've done, and everything's worthwhile. And just know that he's a little more at peace, and he doesn't have to worry about, he keeps saying about being a burden on his, you know, family, and obviously nobody wants to do that, and nobody should have to feel like they could be that, you know.
So I know when we're looking at the page now, you've raised 48,000. It says the goal was originally 40,000, but I'm sure you didn't set it at 40 when you first set up the page.
They're at 48,000 right now.
$48,000.
Wow.
We were told it was going to be about 15,000, and we started it out at 5,000 because we didn't know where this was going to go. Again, we didn't want to shoot, you know, for the moon and come up empty. And once we hit that 5,000, we kind of said 15. And, you know, as it kept growing and growing and growing, we said, wait a minute. You know, people were really reaching out and kind of giving everything they can to help him. And, you know, Willie's very lucky that we found him. And we're very lucky how the media's found us and, you know, helped spread this story. And if we could help another guy in need and another, you know, and another person.
Yeah, you've kind of found a new cause in life because for people that haven't seen any whiff of this story, Willie is a Navy vet, and Willie wants to be buried by his parents in Culpeper, Virginia. So the money's going to go to take care of the funeral, but also to transfer him to Culpeper to make sure that he is laid to rest where he wants to be laid to rest. And it's an honor that we all should take part in. It sounds like many, 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 many people already have. Once those payments are made, that cost is paid for. You're going to look for somebody else in a veteran's world that needs help, right?
Yeah, so we would all... Willie has been very upset about being in the spot that he's in and, you know, not being able to afford it. So we would like to look for another person of Willie's, if you want to say, standards, you know, suffering from the same thing Willie is, as far as, you know, a dying veteran that needs help with his funeral costs, and, you know, somebody that's in the same kind of spot as Willie. And, again, if we could reach out to a second and a third, and depending on where the money, you know, how much money is brought in, as many people as we can help out, why stop?
Exactly.
You know, yeah, if there's more people... while the ball's rolling, you know, let's help them out, you know. And
you guys are good guys. The pride of, is it Johnstown, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you're good guys. And if your parents ever give you a hard time, call me and I'll talk to them.
Thank you.
What do you guys do for a living yourselves?
I'm an equipment manager for the Johnstown Tomahawks in the North American Hockey League.
Okay.
And I'm actually a caseworker for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Good for you, man. Good for you. I'm proud of you boys. Nicely done by both of you.
Thank you.
Hey, do one thing for me. Well, my dad was a World War II vet. He was a quiet guy. Didn't talk a lot. When he passed, there was really nothing of his that ended up being left behind for, you know, my brother or me. And he didn't see it as important. Just do me a favor, just a personal favor. Think about it. Ask Willie if there's one thing that he really wishes he wouldn't sell, now that he doesn't have to, that he could pass on to his sister or somebody else, you know, a memory of him while he was here.
When I spoke to him yesterday, and I told him, I said, Willie, it's time to kind of take a little bit of a step back, you know, and just... we got things taken care of, and being the guy he is, he still wants to sell some of his stuff and do his yard sale.
Sure, he wants to do his part.
Yeah, but he said, you know, Dave, I was just thinking about that, and some of the pictures.
There you go.
And there's a couple, I know there's like an antique car, you know, like, you know, he said that was built by the Amish, and but there are a couple things now that he said he wants to keep and pass on to his family. And that's what it's all about, again, too, because everybody deserves, you know, everyone's family deserves something hand-me-down, you know, something passed on.
Something to remember somebody by, absolutely. Where do we find the GoFundMe page? What's the search for it?
It's GoFundMe.com/help H-E-L-P, Willie, W-I-L-L-I-E,
great.
D.
Help Willie D. Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you guys again. And again, it's an ongoing effort. And while Willie's funeral is paid for, they're looking for more because they want to help in this this new path that's opened up for him in life. Ed Sheets, David Dunkelberger, thanks for being the most valuable people on the planet.
Thanks, guys.
They're good guys.
Thanks again for having us.
Good guys, man.
That's a great story.
Good story. We'll come back, get our headlines next. And I'm leaving him on hold. I don't care. I'm leaving him on hold. The coach is on hold. And you know how that goes. The coach is on hold.
Coach Fitz is back?
No, but he heard Fitz, and he figured probably Fitz wasn't hard enough on me. So I'm going to leave the coach on hold and see if he hangs up eventually. You know what I'm talking about, the old coach.
I do know. Yeah. I know. Okay. Cochran. That guy.
That guy. Yeah, that's a guy. Coming up, your headlines right after this, 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
And Dan Hampton is sponsored by our friends at ChevyDriveChicago.com. And Dan Hampton, you're going to be glad to know that we're giving away that Centennial Blue Chevy Silverado in, well, less than 2 weeks now.
No, I got to tell you, that is one fine automobile. I remember the day we were there, you were trying to steal it when everyone was taking a break. Hey, somebody's going to enjoy it. We know that. And speaking of enjoying things, it's getting fun, isn't it?
First place!
September 28th, we're in first place.
Come on!
Oh, my goodness. It's fun. Now, you know, I didn't know this rebuilding process was going to need a hospitalization plan. I mean, it has been cardiac, you know, moments with OB and Kaz and I thus far. But, man, we're excited about this matchup. And, hey, again, everybody always talks about statement games. Well, this is one right here. We got a break next week, so let's pour it out. Let's see what happens.
The game this weekend is not going to make or break the season, but after going 3-1 with less than an offense of NFL caliber, you can't let this one get away, can you?
No. But before everybody starts, you know, underestimating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I like you, you know, it's easy to have like a disparaging remark about them. But let's think about this: they went in and beat Drew Brees and that number one ranked offense in the Superdome. Then they go back home and they beat the defending world champions. And then last week, if it wasn't for, you know, their quarterback having just bad brain gas, he's throwing three first half interceptions, they probably win that game. So this is a team that has weapons, and they know how to use them. So it's, you know, it's you know, a couple of things. We're going to find out if our defense is really what we think it is. We've got some injuries in the secondary. It's going to cause us some angst. But, you know, we had a couple of situations within the last month of somebody saying he wants to have his Spartacus moment. Well, this is Trubisky's Spartacus moment. He can step up and become the player that a lot of people have expected him to become. And if he does, hey, it couldn't have come at a better time.
In my mind, Hamp, there are a couple of reasons this game looms so large. You're playing at home against a team which has not been a good road. I know they won their only road game this year, but they have not been a good road team. The Bears played well against Seattle in that Monday night game. There has to be a comfort level playing at home, and you get the bye after this. So if you're able to get this win, you go into the bye week on a three-game winning streak before you take on the AFC East in four straight games. And that's got to give a huge lift to this team if you can get this victory.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was a lot of maxims that the great Dick used to have. You know, hey, we got to control your division. All right. Well, that, you know, that's something we've got to deal with because we've, you know, already lost to Green Bay. Well, the other thing is, win at home. If you do a couple of simple things, it's amazing how at the end of the year, you're going to be in it. So, back to winning at home, man, that's a great thing. And I can't tell you exactly what the line is right now. It opened at Bears at 3, and I think it went down to 2. But, you know, John Fox, I don't think he ever won a game at home that we were favored in. And so evidently, you know, it was a big problem for some people. Well, last week, or actually, you know, 2 weeks ago, winning against Seattle, it was a great accomplishment. But more importantly, it was the way we did it. You know, we were able to score when we had the opportunity, but our defense was the difference in the game, you know, with the pick six by Okumara. Right. So, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, the first game we had the lead and then, you know, collapsed at the end. The second game we, you know, kind of, you know, had the lead, lost the lead, came back and then, you know, made plays. And then the third game against Arizona, we were down 14-0 before we even got our, you know, chin straps on, and boom, we found a way to come back. So that's good development. There's a lot of good stuff. But again, as we started off, Steve, you're exactly right. You know, this young quarterback, and a lot of people around town are, you know, almost getting a little defensive, saying, why is everybody, you know, raining on his parade? Well, there's certain, you know, bare minimums that you need to be able to accomplish as a quarterback, and he hasn't done it. You gotta hit the layups. And, you know, the offensive coordinator, Helfrich, said that this week. Mark Helfrich said, hey, you gotta be able to hit those checkdowns. You gotta be able to hit Gabriel, you know, on a 14-yard crosser. You can't miss those. And right. So let's hope somehow, some way he's, you know, able to, you know, dust off the nerve bag and get comfy, and especially being at home, he can make some plays. Because let me tell you something, this Tampa offense, it's for real. They've got their two wide receivers will be more than most people can handle, and now they got a tight end, O.J. Howard, that's hurting people. So we're going to have to score points. We can't just expect the defense to hold them to 10.
All right, well, let's get to predictions. Justin, who do you like?
I hate to do this, but I say Tampa.
Oh!
I know, and I'm a big Bears fan, but I think the last two seasons you have seen the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run the table on the Bears. Now, new organization, new defense, everything like that, but Tampa is looking good, and their quarterback chicanery they're doing right now is going to confuse the Bears.
You're talking 20, about Ryan the 300, Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't know who's going to start. They're making it their
better
and Jameis Winston is back, and that's a different type of quarterback. He's a scrambler, and he has destroyed the Bears the last
two
seasons.
It hard to run with the lobster tails that he keeps in his pants.
That's possible.
The crab legs.
I say Tampa Bay 27, Bears 23.
Dave?
Bears 24, Tampa Bay 21.
Not going to be that close.
Might not be.
Bears defense shows up. Offense a little better. Bears 21, Tampa 7. Sandberg.
I'm going to go with a 14-14 tie. We're taking Catherine. It's her first game, and so I'd like her to see her first tie
the
as well.
The ties kill
Hamp
me.
Hamp and O'Beal just...
Hamp, what do you got?
31-30, Bears win. And it's a character builder. And you're exactly right. Steve, there's a chance that we could turn these guys over early and get Fitzpatrick out, and then Winston comes in and he hasn't really done much, and we get them befuddled and we can make this a laugher. But if we let them make big plays early, it's going to be a long day. But 31-30, Bears find a way.
What time are you guys on?
Strangely enough, our friends the White Sox have priority, so we don't go on till 6 o'clock, but we'll be on from 6 to 9.
All right, good. 3 hours.
Actually, 6 to 8.
2 hours of lunacy. Two hours of Hamp, OB, and Kaz. They could be on for 4 hours. I don't know. We'll make a deal. Thank you, buddy. Well, go Bears.
We're gonna spend most of that afternoon watching the game in Mr. Katz's office. So we'll let you know how that works out.
That's not a problem because I don't have one.
All right, go Bears.
Go Bears.
There you go.
Can you picture all those guys in Dave's little studio?
That'd be funny.
Oh, and the sports edits stay on. No. Well, you couldn't get one of those guys in there.
Kaz going, stop touching me. All right, look, he's been on hold forever. I got to talk to him, I guess. You heard Fitz. You heard Hamp. It's the old football coach. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran. You ought to answer a phone?
Well, yeah, I had you on hold because I got busy.
Yeah, you got busy. Everybody asked me why I don't like you, and I'll be honest with you, Cochran. You ain't my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. but mainly because I don't have big chunks of poo in my cup.
Wow. Bringing the A game right out of the gate. You sound like you're in a good mood this morning.
I am in a good mood. It's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
No, not today.
Oh. Well, when is your birthday?
God, if you were a potato, you'd be a stupid potato.
I didn't know they made those. Did you hear us talking to Fitz and Hamp?
Yeah, I did. I listened. I had no choices on the phone for the last 2 days.
Well, why are you holding on so long? What did you need to say to me?
I got nothing to do.
Okay. But you seem like you want to tell me something.
No, I just, every once in a while I want to just call you up and tell you how stupid you is. you're pretty much all tip. You ain't no iceberg.
Is that right?
Pretty much.
All right. What else?
Yeah, you're pretty much as sharp as a marble. Got that, Cochran?
Seems to me like you're running out of insults.
You know what? I want you to be a pallbearer at my funeral so you can let me down one more time.
Hey, Coach, nice talking to you. I hope you have a nice
weekend. Birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
That's a great line.
Happy birthday. Not today. 8 o'clock, coming back with Dean on the road. Where is he today? Is he in Florida today?
Florida, right?
Wow. Jet setting.
So, talk to Dean here in a little bit, and then we got a bunch of sound to play for you from yesterday's debacle in Congress and the Senate confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh. Steve will have some updates on including the American Bar Association recommendation to shut it down that came out overnight. All that coming up, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one night.
Time now for more on entertainment. Let's go live to Orlando. Dean Richards is standing by.
Because I just can't get enough of being on airplanes this week.
Swear to God. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. You in L.A. yesterday. You're in Orlando today. You riding rides? What are you doing?
I am at the Kennedy Space Center. I'm actually at their...
If you could get on that ride, that'd be sweet.
But you know what? I'm looking at the building for the their next space mission. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it's called, but it's
mission. That would be right. Mission, yeah.
It's incredible. Have you ever been to like a space launch?
I've been in
like
outer space. As you know, I was part of the Apollo and the Gemini programs.
I remember when you first stepped on the moon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I said, Neil, take this one. You haven't gotten enough credit.
I think that's when you had that Tang sponsorship. So
that's exactly right. It's all coming together now.
Always looking for the sponsorship.
So the Gosling movie, the Ryan Gosling movie, is that it?
Yeah, he plays Neil Armstrong in the movie. And I see the movie tonight here at the Space Center. And then tomorrow we'll do the interviews with Ryan Gosling and the whole cast. Director Damien Chazelle, who directed La La Land and lots of really amazing movies, directs this one. So we'll talk to the entire cast, and I'll have some clips of that for you on Monday. I know that there are frost warnings in the forecast there. It is so hot and humid here. It's ridiculous. You know, I show up like the good professional this morning to, do some TV stuff, and I've got a suit on, and I may have to throw this suit away.
<There's>, a little clammy, are you?
Yeah, there is no amount of dry cleaning that's going to redeem the suit after.
Well, when you give Ryan Gosling the bro hug, I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Yeah, no one's going to want to come anywhere near me. I may have to text him my questions. So I'm pretty sure, as it is right now, I have to find more appropriate clothing for the interviews, because the suit is definitely not going to cut it, because we're actually going to be interviewing him outside, just outside of the launching pad where the actual Apollo 11 flight took off.
Sure.
But it's outside. They're setting all that stuff up right now. So we're going to be outside in like 95 degree weather for hours and hours and hours tomorrow.
Waiting
for the interview. So
why don't you go with a thong and a tank top tomorrow for that shoot?
don't believe me. It occurred to me.
All right, so let's do an old guy moment here. Where were you when you when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon? There are only a few people on the show who can identify with this because Mary and Justin and Joe and Pete don't remember.
I wasn't born yet. I wasn't even alive yet.
I thought it was fake, right?
Yeah, well, that's the rumor.
Dave was alive because he's the same age as my parents.
All right, so Dave, where were you?
You know, I'm leaving.
Dave, where were you when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon?
I was sitting on the floor in my parents' room because they had the color TV in their room.
Oh, look at Mr. Rich Guy.
I don't even think it was in color back then.
No, the video from the moon was black and white.
Yeah, and we weren't rich.
Yeah, and it wasn't colorized.
Yeah, but I was watching Walter Cronkite.
And? You remember his sidekick? Astronaut Wally Schirra.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
First day.
Nope. Yeah. This is the moon landing where they put the MTV flag in the moon.
That was actually later.
Yeah, that was later. Yeah.
When they flew that up. Mary Vandeveld, where were you?
What time of day was it?
I don't remember
what
time
night.
Of day it was.
Was it at night?
But was it a moon night?
That's when the moon's out.
Was it moon time or American time?
No, it was. I want to say early evening.
Oh, wait, 9:32 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, so that's what, 9:32 a.m.
Oh, I remember watching it at night, too.
Yeah,
I'm sure we saw it at night after they showed it in the morning, maybe. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I was doing. I was like eight.
Maybe it was tape delayed, like the Olympics.
I remember it vividly, Dean.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, this is my memory of it. So I don't know if it was tape delayed or live or what the deal was with all that. But I remember we were we had like a finished basement on the south side of Chicago. South Shore neighborhood, but we only had a black and white TV that had for the antenna. It was a wire coat hanger because we had broken the actual antenna on the TV, and we all sat around mesmerized watching this.
But the scariest thing, Dean, I don't know if you remember this. The scariest thing was he gets to the bottom. You remember this? He gets to the bottom and he lingers on that last step. And then he goes off the last step, and you think, well, what if it's pudding?
Okay, I take it back. It was like 10 o'clock at night.
Yes, it was 9:56 p.m.
Yeah.
9:56 p.m.
But until he jumped off that last step, you didn't know.
I know I was watching TV, too.
Could have been quicksand. Could have been anything. Chris, it never occurred to me that the weight of the spacecraft that landed on the moon was sitting there.
Yeah.
Right, that so it probably good. Was okay, but then just watching him bounce around,
right?
It was mesmerizing. I mean, watching it was mesmerizing through that very fuzzy televised signal that they were sending back, and Walter Cronkite's jubilation. But really, what I remember most about that, all of us sitting in this different basement, and my dad was just like he was practically in tears at what he was witnessing. I think about that all the time now. My mom's she's going to be 96 pretty soon.
Wow.
All the things that she's seen in her life, all the technology, all these things that have happened are mind-blowing. But I remember my dad practically in tears watching this, while the four brothers were, we were probably fighting, and I'm pretty sure that I was getting noogies from somebody while this was happening.
Well, we beat the commies. It was a big moment. It was a huge moment for America. I would argue that that moment until Lake Placid was two of the most American moments that we had.
Yeah, I agree. These unifying moments that weren't tragedies, that were terrible things that happened that brought us together.
Positive, patriotic moments.
That's right. So that's what I'm about. Positivity and patriotic TV.
And sweating, clearly.
Especially, Steve, I can't even tell you. Uh-huh. I mean, I once was designated by the gym where I go. A personal trainer told me I was the sweatiest person that she had ever met in her life.
Congratulations.
So I'm honored by that. But boy, if she could see me today, like full suit. I look. You remember Albert Brooks in Broadcast when he was sweating?
He that's looked me, in control compared to you.
They may want to do some scientific studies. Some of the NASA scientists may want to do some scientific studies about how much one man can sweat in like 1 hour.
He's actually got an IV is rolling next to him just to stay hydrated.
I actually was cramping up a little bit. I don't doubt it.
Hey, on that happy note, enjoy your time with Ryan Gosling and tell him we all said hello.
I will tell him that I know somebody who is a dead ringer for him.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Doppelganger. That's Dean Richards. He is live in Orlando. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Stand by. We'll come back. Got to play some sound from that debacle yesterday in the Kavanaugh hearing in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Just a few minutes away from the Senate Judiciary Committee vote to see if there's enough votes to get Mr. Kavanaugh confirmed. The full vote leads to a full Senate approvement of Mr. Kavanaugh. That would be on Monday.
So if they don't get the votes out of this, and there's a question about Senator Flake, then there's no vote that would happen on Monday.
Mm-hmm. They push it back. And this ABA thing gives them an opportunity to have some cover.
It's happened twice before, guys. The committee, Senate Judiciary Committee, has voted down a nomination, and it's went on to the full Senate to be approved.
Okay.
So they can't override the committee's
They
vote?
Can, yes.
Oh, I want to play Durbin, and we don't have enough time to get all this in, but let's at least do Durbin and Lindsey Graham, which was one of the pivotal moments yesterday. This is Senator Durbin yesterday asking Kavanaugh a very basic question that he should have been able to answer.
If you, Judge Kavanaugh, turns down McGahn and to this committee and say, for the sake of my reputation, my family name, and to get to the bottom of the truth of this, I am not going to be an obstacle to an FBI investigation. I would hope that all the members of the committee would join me in saying, we're going to abide by your wishes, and we will have that investigation.
I welcome whatever the committee wants to do, because I'm telling the truth.
I want to know what you want to do.
I'm telling the truth.
I want to know what you want to do, Judge.
I'm innocent of this charge.
Then you're prepared for an FBI investigation?
They don't reach conclusions. You reach the conclusion.
No, Senator. But they do investigate questions.
I'm innocent.
And you can't have it both ways, Judge. You can't say here at the beginning,
I wanted a hearing
moment,
look,
I welcome
thing,
any kind of investigation.
This thing was sprung on me.
In Judge Kavanaugh's courtroom, in the past, present, or future, he would never allow a witness to stammer and stumble and just hedge the question the way he did yesterday again and again. So what happened? The White House panicked. And Lindsey Graham, who's a smart guy, recognized this guy's in trouble. So immediately after Durbin, Lindsey Graham threw a hissy. Here's what that sounded like.
To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics. You want this seat? I hope you never get it. I hope you're on the Supreme Court. That's exactly where you should be. And I hope that the American people will see through this charade. And I wish you well. And I intend to vote for you. And I hope everybody who's fair-minded will.
People love that speech. The only problem with that is that, and Eric Zorn points this out today in the column, is that Democrats are pushing back on this nominee. They're not, the expectations aren't to get a liberal judge on the court.
No, because the next three on the depth chart are all conservatives,
so
probably
hear
more hardcore.
Senator Graham
his.
Say, I hope you never
oh,
get the
ridiculous.
Seat. That's
just
not
ridiculous.
What's being discussed here.
Just absolutely ridiculous. And a complete show for Donald Trump, that's it. CNN reporting Jeff Flake, the senator to be thought on the fence, is planning on voting to confirm Kavanaugh.
Right. So
he is now taking some heat from protesters in a hallway at the Capitol. All right. Headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The heat tonight and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
A breaking in the air. Deep left. Just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve's Done on Baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. And since this is Steve's final appearance of the season, unless we, you know, badger him into coming on during the playoffs and giving us some more of his baseball insights, and I hope he will, I just wanted to say right out of the gate, Steve, thank you for all the baseball this year.
Well, my pleasure. I wish that it was a little bit better baseball. I believe that it will be in the future. But look, for a good portion of the city, there's still going to be baseball. It appears that the Cubs are going to be in the habit of winning the games they have to win and continue this on for a while.
Here's the thing about the Cubs. They got a lot of questions. And if they get caught in a wild card one gamer, that's going to be tense.
Well, it's going to be tense because you then go with John Lester, who's the guy that you're planning to go with for the opening of your playoff run. And so in the one-and-done game, obviously you have to win that game or you can't move on. And that's where teams have a disadvantage because they're going to go with the one guy that they believe is going to put them over the top. They have to do that. So, yeah, look, there's questions about every one of these teams, and this is one of those years, especially in the National League, where you take a look at these teams, you can literally make a case for each and every one of them going to the World Series. I mean, you get a couple of hot pitchers, which is all you need, and literally, as the case most years, any team can take out any team. This is really the case this year in the National League, where you get a lot of these teams that look a whole lot like one another. They all have their problems. They all have, some big upside, and yet they go into the playoffs with the same questions everybody else has. It just depends on who gets hot.
Steve, if you had to guess at the end of the weekend, come Sunday about 5 o'clock. Who's atop the National League Central, or are there two teams? And who do you see coming out of the or dominating in the American League playoffs, if anybody does? Because that's everybody looks at Boston, but there's also those Cleveland Indians there and the defending champions.
Yeah. Look, the Indians are a team that understands how to win. They've gotten very close. They're very similar to what Kansas City was a few years back. They came a game away from winning it, and then the next year they won it. For the Indians, they'll take a year off or two and then see what happens. But they're managed by a guy who knows how to do it, Terry Francona. It's a good team. Who emerges? Well, look, to me, the two best teams are Houston and Boston. The best team doesn't always win.
But having said that, you remember the Mariners in 116 with Lou.
And they got taken out.
And they got taken out.
But
these Red Sox don't feel like that. These Red Sox don't. I mean, they're scrappy. They're aggravating. I think they're going to be hard to beat.
They also have a couple guys at the top of that rotation. Now, here's the thing, and this is what everybody in Boston is asking themselves. Chris Sale, they know, can do it. And they've held him perfectly in rotation, not allowed him to go even 5 innings to try to get him strong enough to enter into the playoffs and be ready to go. Their big question mark is David Price, who has never won a postseason game.
How about that?
I believe he's 0-11 in the postseason. So can he reverse form and come in after a big year this year? This is a huge bounce back year for Price. Can he come back, have the kind of year that they believe he is capable of having, and get over the psychological aspect of never having won a postseason game? That's a big hurdle to get over. If the answer is he's going to continue to fall apart in the postseason, Boston's going to have some problems. If he can throw like he's thrown the majority of this year on the heels of Chris Sale and perhaps Porcello coming next with the guys they have in the back end of the pen, yeah, you're right. They're going to be very tough to beat because they're a rare combination of big power, big speed, and a lot of guys that do it right on defense.
Steve, speaking of power, Daniel Palka has excited Sox fans with his power display this year. Where do you see him with all the talent coming up in this organization? Where do you see him fitting in next year and down the road with the Sox?
Well, look, it transcends just the power. Because if he were just a guy who could hit the ball out of the ballpark, you would say, well, that's good. You know, it's very good. He lines up as a left-handed designated hitter against the right-handed pitchers. And consequently, because of that, he's going to get a little less than two-thirds of the at-bat, assuming that is going to be his lot next year. And I would assume they're going to give him the opportunity to do that. The big thing about Daniel is he gets hits at a big time of the ballgame. Mm-hmm. That you can't teach. I mean, 4 pinch hit home runs, plus coming off the bench a number of times to end baseball games, staying in games and getting maybe that last at bat after looking bad, and all of a sudden he gets that one pitch that ends a game. That type of timing you can't teach. He has that. I assume that he's going to be right in line for a substantial job next year. I think it's going to be his job to lose after what he proved during this championship season.
It's Steve Stone on baseball, and the White Sox are teed up to be the next version of the Houston Astros or the Chicago Cubs, and the only thing that could get in the way are the White Sox. So we're looking forward to next season, and you know, I am going to bother you during the playoffs at some point, so maybe change your number.
Well, I would like you to do that. You know, I'm always available. I certainly love baseball. The postseason is just wildly entertaining. And, you know, to me, this is every year in the playoffs is exciting baseball. I think this year it'll be especially so because you have a lot of balance, especially in the National League.
It's Steve Stone, and let us entertain you. Thank you as well. And where are you going to eat today?
You know what? Every time I fly into Minneapolis, I have that feeling that I need some walleye. So if I were in Chicago, I'd go to Shaw's and have some of the walleye. I think it's probably great. And, of course, here in Minneapolis, you get it with pancakes, so it's terrific.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I spent 5 years up there, and you drive by any body of water, walleye jumps into your car.
That's it. It's walleye crazy. With everything. You want walleye with that? No problem. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, my friend.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Steve.
You have a good show.
That's Steve Stone. And we're back in just a moment with a couple of more clips we want to play for you and an explanation of what a devil's triangle is if you're planning on having one this weekend.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You can't make it up. As the committee vote continues at 8:55, coming up after 9... John DeCosta is here this morning. And John, who's coming in after 9?
The Assisi Foundation in McHenry County.
All right. And the Assisi folks are doing what?
They're actually doing a big function. Their 30th on November 3rd this year. And I'm going to be involved in that.
You're going to be the entertainment?
A little bit of entertainment.
Dance monkey dance?
I am going to dance. This is weird.
They originally asked for you, but you already have another gig that night. And so they said they wanted to keep it in the family and hopefully have something funny. So they asked for John. Hopefully.
I don't know if they asked for me specifically.
Oh, they did.
But
they insisted on you.
Yeah, there was.
They said, who's next? I think is what they said.
That's not bad at all. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse from yesterday is a part of the just monstrosity that was the Kavanaugh hearing yesterday.
What a great senator name.
Sheldon Whitehouse. Senator Whitehouse asking Kavanaugh about a yearbook entry of something called a devil's triangle. Listen.
Devil's Triangle. Drinking game.
How's it played?
Three glasses in a triangle.
And?
You ever played quarters?
No.
Okay, it's a quarters game.
The Wikipedia entry for Devil's Triangle was changed last night to match Kavanaugh's answer. You know, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with it. Devil's Triangle, according to multiple entries on the internet, refers to a threesome that involves two males and a female. And no, I'm not talking about golf. And boof is not about tooting, according to the Urban Dictionary as well. Doesn't mean it's not in Kavanaugh's yearbook. But here's what I took away from yesterday in the morning. I felt very badly for both of them. However, I felt she was telling the truth. And I felt like he literally doesn't know if he was there or not, but he's willing to say anything to get onto the Supreme Court.
That's a fair assessment.
So we'll come back in just a second, get you your news. Is CLTV with us today? You guys are just going, yes, they're in. Makeup! But first this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
It's 9:12. As Dave just told you, we're getting thumped in the afternoon. Alternate shot at the Ryder Cup in Paris.
Wow, this is
a blowout. So they're going to go from a 3-1 advantage to being down 5-3 on day one.
Yeah, Garcia and Norin up 6-6 now on Mickelson and DeChambeau.
And Mickelson did not play the morning 18. So you know,
neither of them did.
Yeah,
and Johnson and Fowler, who did well in the morning. They're down 5.
So those two matches are over. The other two are at 3-2 down?
Yes.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that for you.
Thomas and Spieth are down to Molinari and Fleetwood, 3.
Well, I don't like it, Dave, and I want you to do something about it as soon as possible.
I'm going to fly right over.
Thank you. John DeCosta is here. We were just talking about an appearance you have coming up fairly soon, and introduce our friends.
Yes. welcome to Lee Linklater. Am I saying that right? Letter. Yes. Director of the Assisi Foundation. And Karen Schatz. Also involved with the, I don't know your title, Karen. I just found out your name.
Lean right into those microphones, ladies, when you
volunteer.
Talk. Volunteer. And your title?
Founder.
Yes.
And director.
Yes. Oh, you couldn't be a founder. You're too young.
Crazy lady.
Crazy cat lady. Get real close to that microphone. It won't bite you. And we also have in studio, and I feel like they should be introduced. Come on, kitties.
Oh, there. I've got one of them.
What's that cat's name?
That's Silvana.
I have Silvana.
Oh, Silvana.
It's named after a Sylvania TV.
Yes, actually. Exactly.
Yeah, so, just an accident.
Just an accident?
Yeah, well, so was John. And what's that little guy's name?
Sylvia.
Oh, that's the little girl's name, Sylvia.
No.
Yeah, no, you can't be on the air.
She can bite the mic.
Tell me about your organization.
Well, I'm very proud of the fact that we built the first no-kill shelter in McHenry County. And we are celebrating our 30th year coming up, and we're having a huge, huge celebration. And Karen here has been directing many of the event plans and decisions, so I'm grateful to her.
Now, this was not easy when you started this.
No.
As a matter of fact, you almost didn't get this going because somebody scammed you.
Somebody scammed us good and perfect, yes. An unscrupulous contractor, we came out from Chicago, two women, mom and I, we were both widowed, and hired this guy to build a shelter on property which we had taken over.
And he took your money and ran.
Pardon me?
He took your money and ran?
You got it.
And it was
never caught. No. We found out that we were number four in line for the same kind of treatment.
There's not enough bad things that can happen to that guy.
Yeah, so we had to start all over again, you know, reseed money.
Well, I want people to understand how big a deal this is, because you could have quit then.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, there were mortgages and refis and find money wherever you can. So good for you.
That was not acceptable. We forged ahead, you know.
It's very impressive.
Fear to tread, we walked in combat.
That's very impressive. Very impressive. What's going to happen that night for either one of you for the big benefit that John's involved
in? Well, we're going to have a wonderful dinner dance. John is going to be the star. He's going to be entertaining with his great sense of humor. I can hardly wait.
Okay, I was just told I was going to dance.
Well, you can.
Okay. You know, you could dance with little kitty, kitty. Are tickets still available?
Tickets are very much available, yes. Go to our website, call us up. Either way works just fine. Karen, you can give them
the
addresses.
Yeah, and the website is assisi.org, and the phone number is 815-455-9411.
And what got you involved? Just a love of animals?
My daughter had a cat. It was adopted from Assisi.
Okay.
And we went to her. There's also a fashion show every year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. I'm a runway model, as you know.
Yes, I am. Yeah, no. And Lee kind of picked us out of the crowd, and we started working on the events. And this was going to be a big year, so I decided to take it right from the beginning with my volunteers, my daughter. We have Lisa and Carol and Laura all helping us on
this event. That's great.
Get it going.
All in the family.
Yeah.
The family.
There has been a lot in Chicago recently about no-kill animal shelters. We've had more and more stories about cat populations being larger than they have in the past. Is that the same in McHenry County? Are you seeing an explosion?
Yeah. The population is burgeoning. I understand in Chicago things are so almost desperate that the major organizations here, even including animal control, are literally begging people to just come in and foster until they can find space for them in their facilities.
Are there enough good homes for all the cats that are available?
Lord, I hope so. I doubt it. Are there enough good homes for everything? That's the problem.
Yeah.
So you try to find a good place for them in our facility. If they don't find a good home, they have one here with us, which was that's what makes this no-kill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, forever.
We do not euthanize because they've been there too long or they're too old, and we give them very, very good medical care.
How old's the oldest kitty that you have? By the way, is it getting annoying yet when I go, kitty? Oh, Dave, you saying it?
Yes.
It is getting annoying? Okay, I was just checking with Dave. How old is the oldest one?
He went in on continuing care, and he passed away when he was almost 24. That's the record.
Holy cow.
Yes. And he was an old road warrior with his ears all bent up. And
John, in cat years, that's 24.
I was going to say, that in cat years, that is. That's pretty... Is that... what do cats
what's
normally...
The, yeah, what is the average lifespan? Yeah, what's the average age?
24 is old.
Oh, 24 is super old, yeah.
15, so that cat could drink for like 3 years.
13 to 15 is pretty average.
13 to 15? Yeah, really? Yeah. That's
just want to make sure we also have dogs, too. There are dogs as well.
Actually, Christy Vaccari and I are going tomorrow to take pictures. She's going to take pictures.
Christy is our photographer.
Yes, sorry. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I continue on the conversation about no-kill animal shelters. I would think in the city, when you're in an urban environment, it's a no-brainer you're going to go to shelters and find rescues because that's really the only place to get cats. When you're in a rural environment, there are farms, there are other areas where the signs will be on the side of the road saying, litter, come, if you want a cat, you can have one for free. Is it a different way that you conduct business in a rural environment than an urban environment?
Probably not. We do take in animals from distances. We have been taking in a large number of them from southern Illinois because those facilities are so jammed.
Really?
That sometimes they're only kept for 24 hours. And if they're not claimed in that period, they're euthanized.
Wow.
Unfortunately, not always in proper ways. So I go through the lists, and if I see something is on a, you know, red code list, they call them, or very urgent, I know they're in trouble,
we'll
pull them in.
Do you develop relationships with some of the farms and areas when they may have a litter of kittens?
You know, I wish we could, but we don't. We don't have the time. The only people that we work with directly are transporters who are giving their time to make the shifts of these incoming animals.
How do you not turn some down? I mean, at some point you have to be not able to take any more.
Well, you know, of course.
Right.
It's not a bottomless pit.
Which is why we need your help.
We hope, you know, we'll say, give us a week. Let's see if we can make some room through adoptions. That's very important.
And why was this work so important to you from the time you started?
Oh, gosh. I think it was a family tradition when family found animals. We either took them in or found homes for them.
Well, tell me about your mom. Your mom must have been the genesis of this, right?
Oh, grandparents as well.
Okay. Well, you're a nice person. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Well, thank you.
We bumped into each other on the street when I was wandering aimlessly. But that day you didn't have a kitty, kitty.
Well, you know, and Steve, as you know, we have two dogs ourselves, and we my wife and I rescued them. And so the no-kill shelter, which is amazing because they don't, you either take them or they stay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
John is, by the way, he's got a couple of dogs, as he said, but he's also volunteered to take up to 50 cats if you need him to take 50.
Oh, good.
Is that good?
Sorry, we're hoping.
Steve, you got to stop.
Congratulations. It was 50, right? That was the number?
I don't think it was 50.
It was 50. Let's plug the event again. John will do stand-up comedy and...
Dancing.
There's an auction.
Live auction, silent auctions, live dining, auction. Dancing, and just a darn good time.
They're awfully cute, the kitties.
And that's where. And this is being held at the
Crystal Lake Country Club Crystal Lake, Illinois. Right. That's November 3rd, a Saturday, starting at 5:30. And we're going to be offering two free tickets.
That's right.
Here's the thing, and I love you for doing that, but if you're going to take free tickets to a benefit, you have to buy another pair for somebody else. Okay? That's what I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Seventh caller, you get the free tickets, and then you got to buy a pair for somebody. All right? 312-981-7200 is the number if you can go. It's all our friends in Crystal Lake and Woodstock.
Wonderful.
And get out there. Nice to see you both.
And you.
Thanks
Mary,
for being
thank
here.
You. Two thank of you. Our chargers
I know.
There.
I know.
Aren't they darling? And we have
Mary's
a former board member visiting us. She's come all the way in from Italy. She's living abroad now, but one of our...
Are you on the run from the law? What are you doing in Italy?
In a white sweater.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it's a nice family you have, so thanks for coming in. All right. 9:22. We'll get back to the ugly part of the day, and that's talking about our Congress in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson will join us in a few minutes. The obvious question is, What is your level of confidence and preparedness, regardless of the verdict in the Van Dyke trial, and regardless of when it comes out? So we'll talk to Eddie Johnson about that.
There's also a great takeaway from yesterday's trial where the defense actually, one of the defenses that Van Dyke followed his police training from the police academy in shooting 16 times. And that was something that came out of that, and that's a big part of this trial, whether or not it was excessive force, excessive use of deadly force, and I know the superintendent has weighed in and tried to change those, so it'd be interesting to ask him about that.
Huh. I did not know that turn.
Yeah. I mean, that's the defense. It's not, you know.
Any more cartoons?
I had no cartoon yesterday. It was a letdown.
So Eddie Johnson will be coming up. You know, the interesting thing that came out of the disaster that was the Kavanaugh hearing yesterday, as far as I'm concerned, because it was purely political, is the risk the Republican members of the Senate are taking in rolling so hard for Brett Kavanaugh, when in fact Brett Kavanaugh, as you said earlier, there's about three or four people much more conservative than he is in line behind him.
Yeah, there seems to be this false equation that if the Democrats succeed in...
It's all about the win.
...that they will somehow get a liberal or a more liberal judge on the court. And I don't think that's
not
a fair
even
assessment.
As long as the Republicans are in power,
yeah. So that's weird that seems to be the takeaway.
You gotta wonder, too, is this going to fire up more turnout? Both parties count on low turnout in elections, and a midterm election in particular. They absolutely have to, because low turnout means the base on the left and the base on the right show up. And those are the people that you can campaign to and play to, cost you less money, and right. Also it's easier. And we see this in the presidential campaign, where people go hard right or hard left, and then they have to tack back to the middle. The skepticism that you have about politicians is warranted, but again, it's it's why you should absolutely vote. And, you know, one of the signals is 16 and 17-year-olds are pre-registering to vote in gigantic numbers in California. So if you just take that as a microcosm of the rest of the country, have the Republicans lost an entire generation of voters because of the behavior over this and other things since Trump got into office?
To be fair, they're also pre-registering for the new PS4 game. So.
Oh, they didn't know what they were signing up for?
They're just really into pre-registering. I don't know that. I don't know if they're doing their civic duty or they're just like, I'll pre-register for everything.
Color me surprised. All right, 9:30, headlines next, 720 WGN.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 9:43. Superintendent Eddie Johnson standing by. He's got a very difficult job 7 days a week. But there's a lingering question, of course, that affects all of us in Chicago, and that is, whenever the Van Dyke verdict comes down, what are the police doing and how are they going to get it done? Within reason, Superintendent, what can you tell us?
Well, good morning and thanks for having me. So, you know, listen, we've done community outreach since I became superintendent,
right.
Since I became superintendent 2.5 years ago. So, you know, that hasn't stopped. And those things are done for reasons. And one of the reasons is the situation we find ourselves in now. So we've been talking to a lot of the main activists and community leaders in different communities that it'll probably impact more. And I have to commend them. You know, they have stepped up to the plate asking for people, if they do protest, to protest peacefully. You know, as the Laquan McDonald family, you know, their spokesperson, the Reverend, has asked for people to protest peacefully if, in fact, they do. So I have to be honest with you and tell you right now, I don't think that we're going to see any real issues. Of course, people will protest if the verdict doesn't go the way they want to. But if, in fact, we do see things out there and have issues, we are totally prepared for it. You know, some
right.
of those things include, you know, canceling days off, working 12-hour shifts so that we'll have a pool of officers that we can deploy all over the city as the need arises. But honestly, I don't think we're going to have issues like that.
Well, that's great to hear, and I think it's something that people need to hear who would specifically, once deliberations are going on, might even avoid coming into the city because these stories and rumors and social media get out of hand very fast, as you know.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, like I said, Steve, this is the place that we all call home. You know, there's always the possibility that we might have outside agitators and
yeah.
things of that nature coming in. And if we do, we're prepared to deal with them. You know, we will protect people's rights to protest peacefully. But if we have any shenanigans going in, we will arrest those people and we will prosecute them at the full extent of the law.
Superintendent, in the trial yesterday, which wrapped up for the week, but yesterday the defense called a retired Chicago police firearms instructor to say that Van Dyke was trained at the police academy to shoot until the threat was eliminated, so the 16 rounds that were shot into Laquan McDonald were appropriate. You have had a big issue with deadly force and how and when to use deadly force at the Chicago Police Department as the superintendent. How do you respond to the way the defense and the retired police officer put that out for the defense?
Well, you know, quite naturally, you know, we're still under a decorum order with the department from talking about specifics about the case. But, you know, I haven't really paid a lot of attention to it because I have a lot of other things going on that I have to address. You know, so speaking specifically about the defense in the case, I really can't speak on that.
Well, okay, I'll rephrase it then. Where are we with the use of deadly force at the Chicago Police Department?
So where we are, you know, we put our new use of force policy out for public comment twice when we were developing it. So the new use of force policy is a combination of what we thought it should be, what the rank and file thought it should be, and what the citizens of this city thought it should be. So now it highlights the sanctity of life and de-escalation, you know, and when officers have to use force, you know, they use it. We built in a sliding scale so that they can assess the situation as it, you know, evolves so that, you know, you use it until you neutralize whatever threat that may be coming at you, you know. But I think that we're comfortable with the use of force policy as it stands because, again, it highlights the sanctity of life and de-escalation.
I want to go back to community outreach for a second. This is something that your predecessor spoke of early and then went a little more high-tech for a while and maybe not so much community outreach. Are you getting positive response in general, not related to the Van Dyke trial, but in regards to cops on the street, cops on the beat, getting rid of the no-snitch policy? Is the trust rebuilding?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a process. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. But I tell you this, Steve, you know, the technology that we've placed in some of the more challenging districts has helped reduce crime. And the other piece that's helped reduce crime is the community relationships we've built with people in those communities. So I think it's a combination of all those things. So the answer to your question is, yes, we are rebuilding it. There's still a lot more work to be done. I don't want to be unclear about that. But I think we're heading in the right direction, you know. And an example of that is just the communication and dialogue we have with people. You know, when I first became superintendent, certain people in the communities were just the bane of CPD's existence. And now those individuals have decided to help with the community building and the relationship building. So I think that's an example of the fact that we are heading in the right direction, although we still have a lot of work to do.
Superintendent, you're going to see with the news that the mayor is not running for re-election, as all the candidates that are going to run to be the mayor of Chicago, policing and, of course, violence in Chicago is going to be one of the big issues. Are you confident that the police department will not get sort of dragged through the mud in this election cycle? Or do you think that everybody is just going to pile on what the police have done when it comes to violence numbers and also with the consent decree and the changes at the department?
Yeah, well, you know, the consent decree will only help CPD get better and guarantee that we'll get the resources we need to be one of the best departments, if not the best in the country. I just point to this, Steve. You know, when I first became superintendent, of course, in 2016, we had a horrible year in terms of violence. And since we implemented the strategic decision support centers in the 13 most challenging districts in this city, we've had at least 1,000 people less shot, you know, since we implemented that. And this year, you know, we're down 500 less victims. And that means 500 less people that could have been victims of homicide. And then those families of those individuals will not be impacted. So I think we're heading in the right direction. You know, CPD, I made a commitment to make sure that CP does things the way we should do them. And I've got to be honest with you, my whole intent before I leave the seat is for the Chicago Police Department to be a department that the entire city can be proud of and trust. You know, so we just have to keep building on it, not lose our momentum, not lose our focus until we get there.
I know you're like the rest of us in the male world, and you don't like talking about your health, and you never want to appear vulnerable, but we went through a terrible... We lost him?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's a shame, because it was going to be a killer last question. He's dialing back right now. All right, stand by. I just want to check on his health. That's the point of the last question. So, do we have him? Is Eddie with us? Okay. Let me... Right there. Anyway, last question, Mr. Superintendent. Your health, how you feeling?
Hey, see, I feel great. You know, I don't know if I told you this last time I spoke to you, but the last checkup I had, my surgeon said he was upset because my kidney function was better than his. So,
well, that's great. That's exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah, I feel great. Keeping that weight down, you know, but thanks for asking. I do feel really good.
And your son is good as well.
Oh yeah, he's out there in the street and he's learning, and I'm extremely proud of him because, like I said, he's everything good about me. I'm just thankful he didn't get the bad stuff.
Well, listen, God bless you both, and thanks for being on.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
All right, be safe.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 9:55. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10 o'clock. And the Steve Cochran Show returns on Monday. Don't you worry. Next week, is it next week or the week following that we're going to be out of here doing a little diner show?
I think it's the week following.
Okay, and we got big plans for the fall. We can't talk about them right now. They're top secret. Been looking through the text string over the past 20 or 30 minutes, and one of the problems that we have is this society that we live in where everybody gets to declare a verdict on people just because you're watching them on TV.
Yeah.
I'll stick by what I said earlier this week. We don't know what happened in that bedroom 36 years ago. But for people to dismiss this woman because if she was, quote, so traumatized, why didn't she come forward before? I wish you more empathy.
Yeah.
And I hope nothing happens to somebody you love, because there are a million reasons why rape victims and abuse victims don't come forward. And it's not up to you to judge how fast it happens because you happen to like the person she accuses.
And we talked about this yesterday. Pat and Bridget were here. But this idea that there are two storylines, really. It's a political storyline about the process. And you heard Lindsey Graham, the senator, yesterday talking about that process and shame on the Democrats for holding this. And that seems to be a big argument on text as well. But then there's the other part about whether or not this justice, this nominee, has a past and a pattern of sexual misconduct.
Well, and we're all entitled to our views, right? I mean, every one of us, whether you have a talk show or not, whether you're in the White House or not. Here's my view. There is nothing that Judge Kavanaugh did yesterday that makes me know any better whether or not he committed sexual assault. However, the way he comported himself makes me deeply concerned about who he is as a person and what type of judge he would be.
There was, I will say, there was irony. One of the texters said that if the Democrats would have gone forward with this when they had it 35 days ago, they would have the time for an investigation.
It's
they'd
BS.
Have the time, but they wouldn't be up against the wall. So they say the Democrats screwed themselves, if you think about it.
Well, and I brought this up to Durbin in the past. I brought it up to other Democrats in the past. At what point is one party going to say enough? Harry Reid was an intolerable jerk and a liar and a horrible head of the Senate. So therefore, Mitch McConnell is an intolerable jerk and takes it up another notch and changes the rules. If the Democrats win back power, are they going to say enough's enough, or is there going to be more revenge and retribution?
Pat loves to say, you know, that Harry Reid was the one who did this, but that was for a different... They're applying this to the Supreme Court. There should be 60 votes.
Yeah,
that proves that
McConnell.
That makes... Everybody come together and have a compromise on a bipartisanship. So 60 votes, but to have it be 50, we're just going to see partisan judges from here on out.
Yeah, change the world. John, where are you doing stand-up this weekend, John DeCoste?
I'm actually doing it at Zany's St. Charles with one of your guests, Bill and Wendy.
Steve Dale?
Steve Dale and I will be doing... I'm headlining, though.
It's how it should be.
That's how it should be. No, yeah. Rich Scheidner.
Rich Scheidner has been around for 1,000 years, and I understand he's still funny. I'll come back with Bill and Wendy right after this. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve Bertrand is. He will give you the stories that matter after that. Bill and Wendy are here. Why'd you roll your eyes at me? You know it's true. Wendy's here. Bill's here. Bill's here. Wendy's here. Other than Rich Scheidner, what are you doing today?
That's it. Just 2 hours on regular radio, 1 hour of bonus hour, all Rich Scheidner all the time.
So Steve Dale just got bumped?
He wasn't booked. I don't know why Bill said that.
I always just assume he's on the show.
You hope.
He's on the show a lot. So
I enjoy
I'm always
him.
Shocked to find out he's not on the show.
What are you guys doing this weekend? Making your personal lives.
Oh, wow.
And don't leave a single thing out.
I'm fixing a toilet. That's what I'm doing this weekend.
Why can't your husband help with that?
He doesn't do that stuff.
Oh, okay.
I do all that.
Hmm. I have Lou Manfredini live with me.
That would be a good option.
That's a good idea.
Bill, what do you do?
Scrapbooking.
For you young kids in comedy, I hope you paid attention. Bill and I have known each other long enough where I give him another 30 seconds. He's going to say something very funny. It's all about the timing. Wendy, you're up. See you Monday.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings
and scrapbooking
at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago.